Mr. Chair, we are on the record, and I have started the recording. I am Gina Levesque, intake manager for the Commission on Ethics, and this is an executive session of the Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics. Today's date is August 6, 2015, and the time is 1:45 p.m. Before the commission at this time is case number C-15016, and the respondent is James Rocket, who is a council member for the town of Loxahatchee Groves. Mr. Rocket is being represented by a member of the Larry Davis Law Firm, Matthew Hatfield. I will now call the roll. Commissioner Headley?
Present.
Commissioner Kreidel?
Present.
Commissioner Lofredo? Commissioner Pearman?
Present.
The chair will now begin the meeting.
I'd like to welcome you all to this executive session. At this point, I'd like all parties to identify themselves whose names have not already been called.
Do you want me to start, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Steve Cullen, Executive Director, Commission on Ethics.
Christy Kelly, Staff Counsel, Commission on Ethics.
Matthew Hatfield, appearing on behalf of James Rocket.
James Rocket.
Mark Bannon, Senior Investigator, Commission on Ethics.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Cullen as Executive Director for an explanation of what a probable cause hearing is in the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It has been mentioned, this is a probable cause hearing. This matter began with the filing of a sworn complaint by Todd McClendon against the respondent, Town of Loxahatchee Groves Councilman James Rocket. That complaint was filed on June 3rd, 2015. Legal sufficiency of that complaint was found as, if true, the facts alleged may constitute a violation of the Code of Ethics. After extensive investigation by Senior Investigator Bannon, staff is recommending dismissal for lack of probable cause at this time with a letter of instruction. This is a paper hearing. Commissioners have had the opportunity to review prior to today all of the documentary evidence that is at issue. And today the matter is being determined by examining that documentary evidence and considering legal argument. That is, no witness testimony is presented today, and the commission must make a determination as to whether probable cause exists. Probable cause may be found if there are reasonably trustworthy facts and circumstances for the commission to believe that Councilman Rocket violated the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics. Staff submits that there are no such reasonably trustworthy facts and circumstances and recommends that this matter be dismissed with a letter of instruction issued. Ms. Kelly will present this matter.
Thank you. This complaint alleges that respondent James Rocket violated Section 2-443C, Disclosure of Voting Conflicts. To prove that respondent violated the Disclosure of Voting Conflicts section, the evidence must show that the respondent participated in a matter that would result in a special financial benefit to his child or his child's employer or business. The investigation revealed that on April 7, 2015, respondent participated in a discussion on the merits of a resolution that was before the town council. He participated even though he believed he could not vote on the resolution because of a potential conflict of interest involving his son's business. When the town council then voted on the issue of rescheduling the public hearing for April 21st, the respondent abstained from voting, but he did not do so and announce his potential conflict of interest until after he had already participated in the discussions on the merits of the resolution. Then at the April 21st, 2015 town council meeting, prior to the start of the public hearing on the resolution, respondent stated that he was recusing himself from the matter and left the dais, and he did not participate in the discussions or vote on the resolution at this meeting. I am recommending that the commission issue respondent a letter of instruction and dismiss the case. I am making this recommendation because the evidence may not support a finding of probable cause if an actual special financial benefit must be proven by clear and convincing evidence. Although there is evidence showing that the respondent believed he had a possible conflict of interest in the matter, the issue here is whether the mere belief that one has a prohibited conflict of interest is sufficient to find a violation of Section 2-443C. So the issue here is whether the mere belief that one has a prohibited conflict of interest is sufficient to find a violation of the disclosure of conflicts, voting conflicts section, if the official participates in discussions or votes on the matter, or whether an actual special financial benefit must be proven in order for such a violation to occur. This area of law is unsettled, and there are no cases or advisory opinions directly on point. In addition, while respondents' participation in a discussion on the merits of the resolution, and he opposed this resolution, at the April 7 meeting may have violated the disclosure of voting conflict section, respondents' error in participating in that discussion was corrected at the April 21st meeting when respondent did not participate in the discussions or vote on the resolution. Since the resolution was passed 3-1, his initial participation ultimately did not affect the passage of the resolution. And then finally, the respondent did seek guidance from the town attorney before the initial April 7th meeting. The town attorney advised him to contact both the Florida Commission on Ethics and the Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics. However, the facts show that respondent only contacted the Florida Commission on Ethics and followed their advice. And he failed to contact the Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics regarding this issue. His decision to not fully follow the town attorney's advice is significant because state law allows respondent to participate in the discussions on a matter where he has a conflict of interest and only prohibits him from voting on that matter. The Palm Beach County Code of Ethics is stricter and prohibits respondent from participating in and voting on such matters. Because of these reasons, I am recommending that the commission dismiss this complaint, but also issue a letter of instruction advising respondent that in the future, where he believes he has a voting conflict on the matter before him, he must abstain from voting and not participate in any way in such a matter, publicly disclose the nature of the conflict, file a completed Form 8B, and file a copy of the completed form simultaneously with the Palm Beach County Commission on Ethics.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. At this point, I would ask Mr. Rockett's representative, Mr. Hatfield, for any comments or statements he cared to make.
Ms. Kelly stated everything. We believe Ms. Kelly stated everything accurately, and we have no objection at this time.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for either Mr. Rockett or his representative, Mr. Hatfield?
No, but I thought that was a very interesting thing that you pointed out, Ms. Kelly, that with the state, they have one requirement, and then we as a commission have another requirement. So now we all know.
I believe that there's a form showing that Mr. Rockett had ethics training. Is that correct?
I have just recently gone to Palm Beach County training,
exactly.
just recently, yeah. And then prior to that, the prior years I've had the training.
Yeah, because I was wondering why you didn't refer back to the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics and for direction in this matter.
Well, I guess it was had I contacted the county, I would have had that direction before the meeting, and I had contacted the state, but basically went by their direction.
And is there any specific reason why you didn't contact county to, or, I'm just curious.
Just an oversight.
Pardon? Just an oversight.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like I was contacting the ethics board, like went to the state. Probably should, now I know better, I should go to both.
No other comments, commissioners?
Well, I thought I had heard Ms. Kelly say that you, under advice of your town attorney, that you seek counsel from the state commission or county commission or both. What did he say?
Well, our town attorney has stated, he instructed me to do both.
Oh, I see.
I don't recall that it was to do both. Maybe I just didn't hear him say both, but he's given me instruction to go to the state on any other matters in the past, so I don't know if I misinterpreted what he said as an or if it just, I didn't understand that he included both.
The advocate for the commissioner, I think, stated that the law is unsettled in terms of does the conflict of interest, the difference between believing that there's a conflict of interest and materially speaking, there being an actual conflict of interest. But when you follow the form, the disclosure form, I take it that you were of the impression that there was a possibility of, that it could be a conflict of interest. So am I correct in that assumption?
You're correct, and my assumption was that it could be perceived. I didn't necessarily believe it was a conflict of interest per se, but it was suggested when I talked to the state attorney that it could be considered that, so best to stay out of the voting process. I'm sorry?
Who did you said the state?
State Ethics Commission.
All right, final question. That is to say that the issue before the commission, well, I guess the town council, was the issue of a kennel for dog, right? A rescue kennel for a dog shelter or something like that, right?
Correct.
And I guess another fact is that your son owns property next door to the, adjacent to this facility?
Yes, on the southern border of the property. Okay.
So as an elected official, certainly people, even if they would have been mistaken, would have believed that there's a possibility for a conflict of interest, right? You think?
My perspective was that I had responsibility to the town, and I had a number of town residents that come to me and seek my support on the issue. After talking to the state attorney, the state commission on ethics, my comments to them were that, you know, I couldn't vote on it. But I looked at it as a broad, it affected the town, it affected the town in total, because it happens to be right in the center of town. And it was an application throughout the town. It was gonna affect the entire town and its future. So I was looking at it as this was not an individual situation. This was all residents, all those on property in the town, but with the direction from the state. And I advised the folks that were calling me after that, I could not vote on that. So that's my perspective. That's why I say that I think it could be perceived by others, but you know, I felt like that I was looking out, I was acting as a town council member representing the entire town and those that had issues with the variance.
So in other words, you were saying that you felt that responding to the concerns of your constituents, that was more important than saying you having to face accusations of conflict of interest.
No, I wouldn't say it's more important. I'm saying that my perspective on the proposed exception or variance was that it was a town-wide. Mm-hmm. But my action is to follow the Commission on Ethics, State Commission on Ethics direction to not vote on it, even though I discussed with them my perspective as a town responsibility and it affected the town. And it wasn't an individual situation. It was everybody that was, you know, in the town, it could be 2 miles away, that was going to be affected by the issue.
All right. Thank you for your patience.
I have two questions. And I'm not going to go over anything that's been discussed. But the question that I would have for you, Mr. Rocket, is when you recused yourself from voting, did that then, in your mind, reclassify you for that moment in time as a citizen, as opposed to being somebody who was conflicted out?
Would you repeat that question?
Sure. When you recused yourself,
yes,
that changed who you were for that moment in time at that meeting, at least from my point of view. You were no longer somebody in official capacity. You were a citizen. Is that a fair statement?
I would say it's a fair
statement. Okay. If you were just a citizen, would you have attended that meeting to speak on this issue?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the meeting. Which, the meeting on the 7th?
Yeah, the meeting where the rescue property was being discussed. If you were not in your official capacity and there initially for that meeting, would you as a citizen have had a reason to attend that meeting and speak on that issue?
I have two thoughts on what your question is. First of all, because it was a council meeting of many items, I would have been there for other items.
Okay.
But I would have attended, I would have had to be there basically. I would have had to leave and go home or leave the building entirely for that one item.
Sure.
If you would say not attend.
Right.
I didn't consider that, and in fact, I think it was the 21st. When the subject came up, I had to leave. To get up, I had no place to sit in the room, so I had to actually leave the building.
No, I understand. Okay. So my last question is this, and counsel, I apologize, it's going to be a leading question. Is it fair to say that you were trying to do the right thing?
You've, short answer, yes, but you've just described what is kind of a core principle in serving the public in any way.
That's all I wanted to know. No further questions.
Thank you.
Commissioners, is there a motion to accept C-15-01-016 as written?
Can we make, how would you want? I would like for there to be one minor correction.
I guess procedurally, we don't have a motion, so go ahead. What does that change?
This is on the last page. The sentence that reads, respondent is instructed. And this is just a suggestion.
Commissioner Pedlin?
Yes.
What document are you looking at?
I'm sorry, this is...
The last page.
The letter of instruction. Yes. The page is cut off, so that's the reason why I can't call the page. I'm sorry.
If we are talking about the letter of instruction,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you all made your motion to dismiss and issue a letter of instruction, or, and then look at the letter of instruction, or what are you going to do?
Why don't you make the motion and get the second? And then we can look at the letter for change?
And make changes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So the motion, and I would like to make a motion that, and the letter of instruction, that the sentence that reads...
one thing at a time. Are we going to make, are we going to approve the finding and issuing a letter of instruction? So not necessarily this one, but a letter of instruction.
I misunderstood. Stand corrected. Excuse me.
Just ask it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Is there a second?
You already made the motion?
What's the motion?
To accept the
finding.
Letter of instruction.
And issue a letter of instruction.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. And
is there a second?
And yes, I would second that motion.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Now,
yes. Just want to get
Mr. Chair, before we go on.
Yes, yes.
Discussion on it.
Before we go on, now that you've made the motion and voted to accept the dismissal with the letter of instruction.
I have to turn around and look at it.
You have to turn around and look at it.
Right.
The public report and final order of dismissal is on the screen behind you, which you do not have a copy of.
Right.
So we'll look at that first, and once you approve that language or change it, then we'll move to the letter of instruction.
Either commissioner have any issues regarding the order?
No.
Do we have to vote on the specific order now?
Yes, sir.
Individually.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a motion to accept the public report and final order of dismissal with respect to James Rocket and C-15016?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes as published.
So in the same sense, respondent is instructed to be more diligent in the future to ensure that he follows the requirements, blah, blah, blah. And the suggestion is to rewrite it as respondent is strongly urged. Is that appropriate to make that language a little bit more stronger?
Then I would have to ask the executive director for some guidance on this, because there is a difference between strongly suggested and instructed.
Yes,
Mr. Kelly, if you have something to add.
I think that it's your discretion as to how you want it to read. The letter of instruction comes from the commission, so if there's a will to say strongly urged or any other language, I think that's at your option. Strongly urged, is stronger than asked or encouraged, but if that's the will of the commission, I think it's fine if that's how you want it to read.
Commissioner Headley, what's your intent in changing the language? Because I'm unclear about it.
Well, I think the idea is that if there's any possible perception of a possible conflict of interest, to directly consult the code, the Pine Beach Code of Ethics, and to get instructions pertaining to the Pine Beach Code of Ethics. And still, we have the issue of should we go to the state code, refer to the state code, mm-hmm. or to the Pine Beach Code. I think the issue in this case, the Pine Beach Code is a stronger of the two, and we should point this to seek direction regarding the Pine Beach Code.
Okay. Strongly urged to me, not to overparse the sentence, but strongly urged to me is like telling my 15-year-old, as opposed to saying this is what you have to do, which instructed sort of is, yeah, carries a little more weight. And I'm more in favor of using instructed, just because I believe there's a greater weight in
language. Yeah, let's get it. Well, then, right. And I wouldn't want to convey that kind of, right, which would be disrespectful. I don't know what different adjective in there, responded, is she formally instructed or something like that?
It goes so far as to say required, but I don't recommend.
No.
Okay.
But perhaps, Commissioner, you could add an additional sentence, or if you're concerned about the difference between the state code and the Palm Beach County code, which is what this case is all about.
Right.
Perhaps you might consider adding a sentence that expresses that as you say, that the Palm Beach County code sets a higher standard and prohibits him from participating. And that was the problem here, is his participation, not his ultimate recusal. So if you wanted to add a sentence to that effect.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, that's good.
So we push right, respondent is.
Well, you could leave it and add. So wanted to dictate the additional sentence, Commissioner, that's beginning the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics.
Exactly. It basically supersedes.
Well, the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics is more stringent in requiring non-participation.
As opposed to simply not voting.
So here's my question.
A little louder, if we are being recorded, everyone, please speak a little louder.
Here's my question, and I think that's a great idea, but here's my question. I don't know the answer. If the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics has perhaps one or more stringent rules than the state code, is there anywhere in the training that distinction is really drawn and provided to the attendees so that they understand that whichever one is the most stringent is perhaps the one you follow?
Yes, specifically in this case regarding the voting, we have specific provisions in the training that when there's a recusal that they not participate. So we do specifically teach that. State law, of course, says that more stringent requirements are permissible. And our code, in this instance, certainly has that more stringent requirement. So we certainly do teach this particular thing. It's a subtlety.
Yeah.
It applies only to local elected officials, obviously, and those who are voting. But we do cover it, and it's important that local elected officials be aware of that.
Okay, so I think that amplifying it with that additional sentence makes a lot of sense.
Why don't you finish the sentence?
Perhaps the end of the sentence and should be the standard that adhered to.
Correct.
Perhaps that's a little unartful, but.
No, that's.
How about in not requiring non-participation where. That non-participation once a decision to recuse has been made.
Based on a voting conflict.
Has been made based upon a voting conflict.
Right, based upon a voting.
That's good. That's good.
Voting conflict or conflict of interest?
Voting
conflict.
Voting conflict.
That's only voting
specific here.
Or it only falls under that section.
Commissioners, do you have any other further questions on this letter before we vote? Is there a motion to accept this letter as amended?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The letter is passed as presented and amended. I believe that completes the issue C15-016. I'd like to thank Mr. Rocket and Mr. Hatfield for their attendance and participation.
Thank you very much, Commissioners.
Thank you.
at the direction of the chair. This is the end of the recording in case number C-15-016 on August 6, 2015, and the time is 2:15 p.m. The recording will now be deactivated.